I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Thus we begin the confession of our faith, a confession that we will again make in a few minutes. Our confession begins with an acknowledgement that God is the Creator, the one who made heaven and earth. It is no mistake that this confession mirrors the confession of the Hebrew Church of the Old Testament in the eternal Creator. Again and again in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms and the Prophets, we are reminded that God is the Creator. And here we have it in our reading from Isaiah today. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. The everlasting God, the God who is outside and beyond time, is the Creator of the universe in time. Not only did He create the universe, His providence continues to maintain the universe. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like Him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. The heavens and the earth continue to be a physical, tangible evidence of the power of God. I don't know how much Isaiah or his contemporaries knew about the universe. What I do know is that science today continues to expand what we know about the universe. There seems always to be more and more than we thought or imagined. Astronomers continue to add to what we know, and telescopes continue to reach further and further into space. Yet the portion of the universe that we have actually explored is a minuscule portion of the whole. Science news has been alive recently with the recognition that the spacecraft Voyager 1 is on the edge of the solar system, ready to reach into interstellar space. While I certainly do not belittle the accomplishment, seen within the scope of the heavens and the earth as a whole, this is no big news. Voyager 1 next needs to leave our own galaxy, the Milky Way. Then it needs to leave our local cluster of more than 50 galaxies. Then it needs to leave our local supercluster of 100 galaxy groups and clusters. And then Voyager 1 can explore the rest of the universe. An idea of the size of the universe can be seen in a picture of the observable universe in Wikipedia. The caption notes, "The Virgo supercluster, home of the Milky Way, is marked at the center but is too small to be seen in the image." Not just our local group of galaxies, but our local supercluster of galaxies is too small to be seen in this picture of what is known to the universe. From our current knowledge, we can even be more impressed than previous generations with God's rhetorical question, "To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him?" says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. It seems almost inexplicable that there can be so many scientists who deny the existence of God. Something as large as a universe is supposed to have created itself. Something that is so large that man can only begin to comprehend it somehow developed without an outside creator. St. Paul wrote about such people to the church at Rome. What can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Although St. Paul then continues, so they are without excuse, we must not forget what Isaiah writes here. Have you not seen? Have you not known? Have you not heard? We must hear about God the Creator in order to know Him. The universe indeed does testify to Him, but only the written revelation of God in the Bible lets us know with certainty about God. And even then we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty. We know that God created the heavens and the earth, not through our own personal senses, but through the faith in that God has worked in us through His Word. God then asks a second rhetorical question in our reading. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? The God who created all the heavens and the earth can certainly watch over his creation. Or can he? The same people who deny that the vastness of the universe must have had a creator turn the argument on its head when talking about the earth and humankind. This piddly earth, not even noticeable in the extent of the universe, is completely insignificant in the grand of things, and it cannot be a concern of God. So, can God be concerned about the people on a small blue pebble in the vastness of space? The Hebrew church knew that God was concerned about him. They celebrated every year the deliverance that God had brought about in bringing them out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. God had compassion on a small, insignificant group of people, even in comparison with the rest of the earth, not to speak of the rest of the universe, and delivered them from bondage. Can God be concerned about a people on a small blue pebble in the vastness of space? He cared enough about those people to come personally to this earth to deliver that people from bondage. The God who had created the vastness of the known universe took on human flesh, came to live and die among those people, the people he had created on what is, from the perspective of even the stars one can see with the naked eye, pretty insignificant. The second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, limited himself by human flesh. Think about it. The God who is above and beyond, outside of everything he created, purposely took on human flesh, being born of the Virgin Mary, in order to grow up, suffer, and die for your sins. The creator of the universe took upon himself the sins, shortcomings, and failings of all humanity and paid the penalty for those sins, death, and eternal separation from God. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day from the dead. How do you and I know this? Just as with God the creator, we each confess that I believe in Jesus Christ. The evidence for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is indisputable. But it is not because of the evidence, but because of the faith that God has worked in us that we know that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. We can ask the same question about Jesus Christ that God rhetorically asked about creation. Have you not known? Have you not heard? St. Paul asked the question in this way. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And we can add to those questions this one. How can they be sent unless they are formed? That is, of course, precisely why you are here at an institution dedicated to forming servants in Jesus Christ, who will teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. You who are students who are preparing to do this, just as your teachers have been formed to do this by their own education. That would be a good stopping point, but I haven't yet gotten to the last few verses of our reading. There God tells us through Isaiah, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." God will give strength to those who wait, hope, trust in him, expecting him to do what he has promised. This promise is not just for those people out there, not just your hearers or your future hearers, but for you and me. Servants in Jesus Christ who are teaching the faithful, reaching the lost, and caring for all are as much in need of the strength that God offers and delivers as are those to whom those servants minister. Come unto me, ye weary, as we have just sung, is not just for the proverbial man or woman in the pew. It is for you and me, current and future workers in God's vineyards. Come unto me, ye weary, and I will give you rest. Jesus' words are a comfort to anyone who is doing the work of the kingdom. For the church on earth is always the church militant, the church at war against our flesh and the flesh of all people, at war against sin, at war against the devil. And those who fight can and will get weary. Never underestimate the comfort that Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the known universe, offers to your hearers as well as to you. You can depend on it. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.